beautiful. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you have, turn to the book of 2 Thessalonians 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter, rather take that back, Revelation 13. We'll start there. Revelation 13, 1. Revelation 13, 1. Here's the Apostle John, exiled the Isle of Patmos about 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago. He said, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. The beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were as the feet of a bear. His mouth is the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his seat, and great authority. Father, I pray that you'd anoint this messenger this morning. I need your power. Heavenly Father, Lord, bless in this house. Speak through me what you'd have the folks hear. Our Heavenly Father, I'm simply here as an instrument to be used in your hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. I would highly recommend, folks, highly recommend that you get the tape of Sunday school that I talked about this morning. Because I brought up some issues in Sunday school this morning that are very pertinent. We talked about UFOs, but we got more into the message of UFOs as to what they're saying. Now the message from these ETs, extraterrestrials, is that there may very well be a bunch of people taken suddenly from the earth. And they'll be taken up, of course, into some place up there. And people need to be prepared for that. Now, these people are not friends to the gospel of Christ or your Bible. But it's quite remarkable that now that message is coming out. Makes you wonder if they know something that most people don't know. They know what's going on this earth. Here in the book of Revelation chapter number 13, I read this for you because it's about the Antichrist. In some places you refer to him as the Pseudo-Christos or the false Christ. But he is Antichrist. He is set over in contradistinction to the true Christ. He's not the true Christ, but he is a Christ. Because he said in the book of Ezekiel, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Now, the word anointed in the Old Testament is the Hebrew word Mashiach. So the cherub that covereth is the Mashiach that's been anointed. In the New Testament, he is a Christ. He's another Jesus. So therefore, it's important for you to understand that there is a true Christ, true Lord, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's a false Christ, false Lord, false Jesus, false Bible, false Christianity, false as set over against the true. And here in Revelation chapter number 13 is very clear that he rises up and he causes the whole world to follow him and he receives his power from the dragon. You'll find the dragon identified for you in chapter number 12. The dragon is a great red dragon. It comes down from heaven because there's war in heaven and he and Michael lock horns. And the Bible, and Michael is an archangel, the only one so called in Scripture. And he and Michael lock horns in Revelation chapter number 12. And Michael prevails over the dragon and over his angels. And they are cast out of heaven down to the earth. And the Scripture says in chapter number 12, Revelation, he comes down in great wrath, for he knows he hath but a short time left. Just a short time left. Muhammad died in 632 A.D. Muhammad. He's the one who started the religion of Islam. Islam, if you'll understand the different branches of it, it'll help you understand greatly in what's happening right now. You have the Sunni branch of Islam, which is by far the largest branch. They're the ones who followed a caliphate from Muhammad. They wanted a caliphate. And so we have that separation from the Shia Muslim, who follow saying that his grandson Ali was a direct descendant of Muhammad. And so therefore, they are the legitimate ones carrying the message of Islam. Shia and Sunni have been at each other's throats now ever since 600 A.D. There's another branch of Islam called Sufi Islam. It's like the Kabbalah in Judaism. They're mystics. They have a kind of an esoteric idea about what their faith is about. If you understand that Saudi Arabia is Sunni Islam, understand that Iran is Shia Islam. Iran hates Saudi Arabia. Iran right now is working in the Persian Gulf. And this is what all this mess is about over there. It's about the battles that they've been fighting now for centuries. They hate each other, but they hate you more than they hate each other. And if they're not killing each other, they're going to kill you. And so what is this important for me, preacher? It's very important. For what I'm about to give you is something that I want you to just take and listen to and do your own research into and think about. I'm not saying that I necessarily believe everything involved in what I'm saying, but I am trying to tell you that we live in 2019, and I believe that He is at the door. He, our Lord Jesus Christ. How many's ever heard of Joel Richardson? How many's ever heard of John MacArthur? Surely you've heard of him. All right. There is a message out there today that is called the Islamic Antichrist. They believe that the Antichrist is going to come from Islam. Most people don't understand that Jesus plays a big part in the Islamic faith. But they misunderstand what He's about, what they believe about Him. And it's important for us to understand as Christians that they do not look at Christ the way we do. No way under the sun. It's also important to understand that the vast majority of Christianity in this country has apostatized and turned away from the truth of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. They've redesigned Him and remade Him in their own image. He's become unto them what they want Him to be. So let me give you some of the things this morning that Islam believes about Christ. First of all, they think He's just a man. He's not divine. God has no son. Secondly, He did not die. Therefore, if He did not die, He did not make the atonement, nor did He die on the cross. Thirdly, they believe that He went to heaven like Elijah. And Elijah went up in a chariot of fire. In heaven right now, He's standing alongside Allah. He's waiting for Allah to send Him back. Allah, of course, is the name of the Islamic God. Allah, Akbar, is what they say sometimes right before before they commit suicide. And Shaheed is the word I'm trying to think of, as one who offers himself as a sacrifice unto God. And if he dies as a Shaheed, dying like that, he has an immediate entrance into heaven. Otherwise, most Muslims aren't sure that they're going to go to heaven until the final judgment. So therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ, according to them, remember, Jesus is standing at the right hand, waiting at the right hand of Allah for Him to send Him back. In the Islamic faith, Jesus is a prophet. He is a prophet. They respect Him and reverence Him as being a prophet. But He did not die for your sins. They deny completely the message of the cross. Now you need to understand something. When Muhammad died in 632 A.D., he had taken the Old Testament. He had taken the New Testament and borrowed from his Zoroastrianism and no doubt whatever else. And he had created the Quran. The Quran is the book of Islam. But there is also another book called the Hadith, or the Hadith. And this is a book that has some of the sayings and works of Muhammad. And it is used many times to interpret the Quran. So the two books go hand in hand. The Quran and the Hadith. And so we want to talk about this morning because it's important to where we're headed. So why does Allah send Jesus back? He's standing at the right hand of Allah. Why is He going to send Him back? He sends Him back so that when He shows up, He can correct all the Christians who have misunderstood who He is. That's me. That's you. We really do not know who Jesus is. Now you say, well, I believe in the New Testament. That doesn't mean a thing. Because who is Jesus? And so we'll leave it to them to identify Him. So why does He send Him back? He will come back to straighten up the people who misunderstand who He is. And so that's important because that's a big deal. Because you understand this Lord Jesus Christ that we serve today, to know Him rightly is to know Him in salvation. To know Him wrongly is damnation. When He gets back, He will get married.
He will have children, then he will die and be buried next to Muhammad. This is the Muslim Jesus. So when a Muslim tells you that they believe in Jesus just like you do, you've been informed this morning. You should search further into what I'm saying. You should understand they are not talking about the same Christ. Amen. Don't ever let some preacher get up and tell you that, oh, they believe in Jesus like you do. That's your brother. He's either saying out of ignorance when he says that, or he is intentionally deceiving you and trying to pull the wool over your eye. In Islamic eschatology, that's the doctrine of last things, there are three great signs in the end of history. And these signs are related to a man. The first man to come in the end of history is the Mahdi. The Mahdi. He's sometimes called the 12th Imam. He's coming to slaughter all who do not worship Allah. And he calls them pigs and dogs in his writings, to establish the world dominion or domination of Islam, to set up a caliphate. He's coming back according to the Islam. Now, remember this. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of Christians and thousands of different interpretations of the Word of God. We don't all agree. Scattered all over the place, some believe this, some believe that. This is why we have so many different denominations. But I do see the wisdom of God in it. For the Bible said, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. You're not following Christ because your preacher tells you to, and he's feeding you. You're following the Lord Jesus Christ because of what you believe in your heart and in your soul. For if it's not by faith, my dear friend, it's sin. Amen. The Mahdi is the guided one, the long-awaited Savior. He will come and establish the final caliphate. The world must follow him. When he takes over, he must destroy all the enemies of Islam. Give a little bit of a historical background. The Ottoman Empire for 1,000 years was a dominant force in Constantinople, the east, in that area. The Ottoman Empire was Islamic. They lost World War I. They joined up with the wrong side. Ataturk, who was the leader in Turkey, stopped the caliphate, I think some of the 20s, 30s, somewhere in there. And since that time, there has been no caliphate on this earth. I'm sure that many Muslims despise what he did because ISIS, you heard about ISIS, is all about a caliphate. This is what they're doing, the Islamic State. They want to reestablish the caliphate here on this earth. That's a big deal to these people. So he will come and slaughter, and he will establish the final caliphate, and the world must follow him, and he must take over and destroy the enemies of Islam. He will come and carry on a holy war, jihad, and he will either convert or be killed by the Mahdi. If you either convert or you'll be killed. This is history. This is the way it works, folks. Don't let them flim-flam you about the nature of what we're talking about. You either convert or you be killed by the Mahdi. He has a massive army that goes from nation to nation and punish the unbelievers. The army carries black flags. One word on the black flag, punishment. By the way, the Iranian army carries black flags. They want to be ready for the coming of the Mahdi. He will lead his army first to Jerusalem. Listen carefully. He will lead his army first to Jerusalem. Slaughter the Jews in Jerusalem. Establish his rule in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount. And he will make peace with the Jews and the West. 7 years he will reign from Jerusalem. Now, are you following me? How many of you read your Bible? The Mahdi will come riding on a white horse. Revelation chapter number 6 says that four horsemen, one of them is on a white horse and has a bow and no arrows. A lot of people say, well, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. No, it's not. Christ is in Revelation 19. I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called faithful and true. In righteousness, he that judge and make war. He's the King of kings. Hallelujah to God and the Lord of lords. That's the true Christ. Amen. But we have a usurper. So 7 years to reign in Jerusalem. Don't you think that's remarkable? Now remember, I've told you this. First of all, I'm not saying I believe all of this. Secondly, I'm saying there's a lot of controversy about some of these things, even among the Muslims themselves. But it's quite remarkable that so many of these things parallel what the Bible says. Don't you think? Don't you think it's remarkable? They're talking about going to Jerusalem. He's going to sit down, and from there he's going to rule for 7 years. The Mahdi will come riding on a white horse. They even quote Revelation chapter number 6. And Saddam Hussein, you remember him? He had all these palaces all over Iraq. He had murals of the Mahdi all over Baghdad. You remember his palaces? He will find hidden scriptures. The Mahdi, when he comes back, the Gospels and the Torah, hidden scriptures. You remember 1947? You remember 1947? You remember the Gnostic Gospels found and Nag Hammadi? You remember the Dead Sea Scrolls were found next to the Dead Sea? This had been buried for centuries. They found it. By the way, for your own edification, they didn't find one word in the Dead Sea Scrolls which were Jewish. Not a single word in the Dead Sea Scrolls written 2,000 years ago that counters what you have in your hand, the Word of God. But anyway, listen to this. He will find hidden scriptures, Gospels and Torah, and it will be called the true scripture. It will be used by the Mahdi to show the Jews and the Christians they were wrong. This is a precious description of the Antichrist. The Bible's Antichrist is their Mahdi. Revelation 6 is the Antichrist. Let me explain something. If you read the book of 1 John, read it carefully. 1 John, the Apostle John says, we handled him, I talked to him, I know him, I know the Prince of Peace, I know who he is. Then he said, he came in the flesh, and he was here in the flesh. Then he goes on to say that any spirit or anybody that denies that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, 1 John, is Antichrist. So we know there's only one man of sin, but we know that the spirit of Antichrist permeates all religion. I mean those people that have crosses on their buildings, they are full of the spirit of Antichrist. If you deny the incarnation that the Lord Jesus Christ is Jehovah God Almighty, you're an Antichrist. Amen. And let me tell you something. I've never had a problem with that every day since I've been born again. When the Holy Spirit lives within a believer, if you truly have the Holy Ghost in you, you immediately embrace that and say, I've got no problem with that. The Lord Jesus is God. Got no problem with the virgin birth. Amen. Got no problem with the resurrection. If you truly have the Holy Spirit in you, these foundational beliefs of Christianity, you'll embrace them. But if you're just a good religionist, you know, a social religionist, making the world a better place to live in, you're a follower of the teachings of Jesus, you don't have a clue. And I don't want to be mean, but you don't have a clue. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. So, the second person is Jesus. This is what he's going to do in their eschatology. The Mahdi is not Jesus. The Mahdi is greater than Jesus. That's important to these people. It is important to the system. If you have someone greater than Jesus, the Christians are wrong. Jesus will return, but not the true Jesus. Islam's Jesus is a prophet with one purpose: to assist and aid the Mahdi. He returns as a radical Muslim to a minaret in Damascus. You know all the war in Syria? You know all the battle? The war? I said in Sunday school this morning, I said when you have tragedy, when you have problems, when you have wars, that's when you have supernatural spiritual movement. That's when these ETs start talking to people. That's when this stuff happens. You'd be amazed this morning if you just do a little digging into this. Read what these veterans who are on the battlefield, I'm talking about on the battlefield, read what they say when they come back off of that battlefield about what they saw.
Yeah.
You're in the midst of killing. You're in the midst of a place where things are happening spiritually. And they see stuff on the battlefield, and they tell their commanders sometime. The commander just dismisses it. You're nutty, you know, you can buy combat shock. But there's too many of them. And what they're saying is in too much of agreement. And they're talking about seeing things. They're talking about stuff that, you know, just blows your mind. And in the combat, in the battlefield, they see it. For example, our brother mentioned a few minutes ago about World War II. The P-51 Mustang finally showed up. They could fly all the way from England down over Germany and bomb Germany with the P-51. In other words, the bombers could have flight, could have air support. It was a big deal. And they used to see Foo Fighters, they called them. They just appeared. And they fly all around them, faster than them. And our pilots from World War II would come back, and they knew each other, and they were in agreement. I saw it, you saw it, we saw it. It's there. Yet, as usual, the brass, you know, the big shots, the big wigs, they don't like to get into stuff like that because you got to think. It creates controversy. And there lies the problem. There's a real world, folks. It's a spiritual world. And there's a world right there that, and you probably have a few of them in this house this morning that are demons. Don't be afraid of them. If you're born again by the Spirit of the living God in the name of Jesus, you can take authority over them. They have no power over you. But if you're not born again, be careful. Because you can get in big trouble when they're around. So he comes to a minaret in Damascus, holding the wings of two angels to meet the army of the Mahdi. He will pray to the Mahdi, acknowledge the Mahdi as his Lord. We're talking about their Jesus now. He will make a pilgrimage to Mecca. He will worship Allah. He will lead all Christians to accept the true Jesus, the Muslim Jesus. I read in the Sunday school lesson this morning about this Baptist over here at the Baylor University when he was talking about white heterosexuals. That we need to, I forget the context exactly, you all heard me, that Lord deliver us from that. It's identity politics with these people. It has nothing to do with the gospel of the grace of God. Why should color have anything to do with us? Where do you get the color business? What kind of a church have you got if all you, oh, well, a black one over here, a white one over here, a red one over here, and a blue one over here. Shut up, man! That's not the word of God! When he went to the cross, he tasted death for every man. What do you do? Pit one against another, turn one against another with junk like that. But that's what he's doing because that's identity politics. He's pandering to the spirit of this world, the spirit of this age, and he is not in any sense of the word a Christian. He doesn't have a true Jesus. So he will establish Sharia law worldwide, become the greatest Muslim evangelist, the final witness on the day of judgment against non-Muslims. Christians everywhere will affirm they were wrong. The New Testament is wrong. He didn't die. There's no atonement. They will correct all the interpretations. They will shatter the crosses. This new Jesus, this Jesus, he will shatter the crosses. They hate the cross. Have you ever seen them in their practicing and, you know, taking over a building or a house, there's a cross in there. That's what they lower their AK-47 against. They shoot that cross. They hate the cross. They despise the cross of our Lord Jesus. They shatter crosses. He will kill the Islamic Antichrist. He will die and be buried by Muhammad. And only after he has destroyed Christianity, compare what he does to the false prophet of Revelation 13. And here all I can say to you this morning is this. Buckle up. Gird up your loins. Get some faith in your soul. And look for the coming of our Savior. When you've got the paranormal out here, you've got the ETs out here telling people that all of a sudden a bunch of people are just going to disappear from this earth. And now here you've got this is being preached about Jesus is coming back. But it's not your Jesus, Christian. You're all messed up. And then they show you some scriptures. That's quite remarkable. You know what extant means? It means that what we have in our hand, these 66 books, are extant. They're available. You can put your hands on them. You can read them. But there's a very great possibility that there are other things buried out there. But God gave us the Scripture right here. 66 books of them. We've got the Bible. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you'd use what I've said. I don't see how in the world anybody can sit around and hear all I've said in Sunday school this morning. How in the world can they hear this and go home and just sit down and watch a ball game and not give a second thought to it? I don't see how they can do it. This kind of thing stirs my soul, Lord, to see coming from the enemy the proof of God's Word. And I pray for them. I pray for them. I pray in Jesus' name. For His sake we ask it. Amen. Let's stand up this morning. I hope now that you know a little more about the Jesus of Islam than you usually hear. He's not the same Christ. He's not the same Christ.